How I first met the magician, and what she meant now. The rumors about the magician up to that point had come to me vast and unsubstantiated, because Wick was terse on the subject and I had few other sources. Some said she was homegrown, rising from the broken communities in the West, and that she had made the company's business her long area of study, that she had, early on, begun to gather up memories from anyone who could give her something useful, not just to sell, but for any intel that might help her see what was going on inside the company. She planned to use whatever she could glean against the company. Until recently, that had seemed an idle threat, but when the time came, she knew enough to extort and bribe more tools and biotech off the last company personnel holed up in the building, abandoned, eking out their existence, complying with Mord's demands. But others said the magician had once worked for the company, or that she came from beyond the mountains that didn't exist because they were so far away, or that she came here because her ancestors had ruled the inland sea that was now salt and desert and next to nothing. They said she was cruel and just, that she was tall and short. They said whatever they wanted because the elusive magician so rarely showed her face. I had seen the magician only once. She did not like to be out in the open, and as she became more powerful, made herself visible mostly through the ragtag army of people she had made into allies. She worked her power, Wick said, from the way she could reimagine parts of the city as hers, and we had no competing vision with which to fight back. Those places only had form and substance and boundaries because of her efforts, lacked structure otherwise. We gained our power, or at least survived, by rejecting those boundaries and those spaces, by ignoring her control, from wanting to live apart in the balcony cliffs. The time I saw her, I'd been driven to the far south to avoid a psychopathic scavenger. It was a day when I'd planned to take up my familiar position at Mord's flank, had tracked him far to the west, once again into territory I'd not visited much, with the cracked skull of the observatory to my right as a landmark. But I lacked the nerve that day to latch on, to pull myself up into that besotted fur, and my adversary had taken that as a sign of weakness. To the south lay only the desolate plain and the company building beyond it. On the edge before the plain, I veered to take refuge amongst some circular ruins on a ridge of hills. I had my binoculars in my pack and searched for evidence of my pursuer. Soon my attention was drawn to the hill opposite, where there was a similar circular ruin. Perhaps both had been cisterns, or both had been sentinel strongholds, but against that brown-gray stone shot through with lichen and yellow vines, for a moment only, I saw the outline of a tall figure gliding across the ancient stone wall. It was gone so fast I doubted, put it down to being overly alert for signs of the other scavenger. Not more than 10 minutes later, I heard a kind of rustle or unfolding, and a voice came from beside me. "Hello, Rachel." I had my knife out, cast about me, stabbing, turned in a circle but was alone. My blade passed through nothing and no one. The attack beetle I'd readied floated out and, whirring, fell harmless to the ground. "Put your knife away," the voice said, husky, deep, but a woman's voice. "Put it away. I'm not here to hurt you. If I was, you'd be dead." I sent another attack beetle toward the direction of the voice. It dive-bombed the ground, landed on its back, circled there with its wings buzzing. "That's a waste, Rachel," the voice said. "I never took you as the wasteful sort." "Who are you?" I kept my knife out, but I didn't use another beetle. "They call me the magician. Maybe you've heard of me?" the voice echoed. came from everywhere and nowhere. At that time, she was nothing special to me. Just another pretender, another grifter, another person deluded into thinking they mattered. A name that would be forgotten soon enough. What do you want? You're direct. Good. Just like me, she said. There was a hint again of the rustling, of the being in plain sight, but I couldn't see her. Say whatever you want to say and leave. I still had the psychotic scavenger Charlie X to worry about. Are you happy now, Rachel? The magician asked. Happy? Now? What a strange question. What a self-indulgent, unanswerable question. I wanted to stab the air again because of that question, send my beetles spinning out from me toward all points of the compass. What business is that of yours? A low, deep chuckle. You couldn't know this, but it is my business. So I ask again, are you happy? At the balcony cliffs? With Wick? The smugness there, the hint of secret knowledge, of intimacy, made me hate her. Show yourself, I said. Show yourself if you want to talk to me. You're a good scavenger. You have a good mind. I've watched you for a while now. Long enough to feel like I already know you. I don't know you. The light dulled and brightened over the desolate plains below as clouds gathered and moved swift. Nothing else moved there. Nothing gave itself away. Charlie X was somewhere out there, wanting to kill me. But you could. You could join me. Join you in what? Something more than this. She gestured at the sky, the sun, the land, as if we had the choice to leave it all behind. Why would I want to? Maybe because I'm not like Charlie X, she said, surprising me. I'm not stupid. I'm not mad. I'm not living day to day. I'm actually trying to build something here, a coalition, a way forward. What do you know about Charlie X? I know he's dead, and that I killed him, just the other side of that cistern, on the hill opposite. Relief and suspicion and fear pulled at me. You're lying. I believe he was on your trail. I believe he meant to sneak up on you and take your life. I believe that won't happen now. You're lying. After we're done here, you can find out for yourself. And you're welcome. An incorruptible assurance in her tone, and I did believe her, although I didn't want to. What are you planning? A way to defeat Mord. A way to bring us all into the future. Such bitter, mocking laughter the magician might never have heard before. If you could do that, you wouldn't be here now. Did you know the company made abominations much worse than Mord, Rachel? Did you know they've meddled in so many things they shouldn't have? Things that affect your life, too? I spat into the dirt. The rumor is you're beginning to modify people, and maybe not asking them first. The magician laughed. Oh, I always ask first. But you should ask Wick for his opinion on that before you judge me. Wick just wants to be left alone. I want to change the city. Bring back what we had before. You want leverage over Wick. I already have plenty of leverage over Wick. I thought that might be a lie, but her confident tone rattled me. But just not enough to get him to ask me to do work for you on the side. Is that it? You know, Rachel, the magician said, being blunt, being direct, is fine sometimes. Other times, that quality leads right to the boneyard. I'm going to ask you one more time to leave, I said. Or what? You've got one attack beetle left, a spider, and no gun. And you didn't even know where I was until right this moment. In front of me, a person appeared, just far enough away to make stabbing her risky. It was almost as startling as if a tiger had appeared before me, as rare and surreal and mesmerizing. The cowl to her robes was down, or I would have paid more attention to the fact her robes weren't clothing, but a kind of biotech. She had thick, dark hair and deep bronze skin and features that were lioness-esque, or in some way regal, but for a scar that ran down her right cheek, hooking into her upper lip. If I was honest, the magician resembled me more than she should, even down to the glittering eyes and her build. But my skin was much darker. I had no scar, my hair was short, and I had never been animated by that look of being born to command. Mord could have hurtled down from the sky to devour her right then, and she would still have kept her composure, even while finding some way to thwart his appetite. Now you can see me, she said. What do you think? I stuck to my resolve. I think, one last time, that you need to leave. The magician smiled, and it was as if the rays of the sun burst forth from her features, a radiance I couldn't deny, and still that dangerous sense of self-regard. You're a valuable commodity, the magician said. You should have happiness, boldness, purpose. You shouldn't huddle somewhere like a rat in a cage. But I can tell you aren't convinced. So, goodbye for now, Rachel. The cowl rose over her head like the living creature it was, and in a kind of glittering dissolve, a whisper, a hint of a flurry of movement, the magician disappeared while I just watched with my mouth open. A lucky find, perhaps, that biotech, some kind of camouflage that reflected its surroundings, gave to that disguise depth, breadth, so she wouldn't move like a cardboard cutout across the landscape. How could I know she was gone? The hilltop felt deserted, even with me still standing there. An absence. In the next few days, when I was paranoid she might still be tracking me, I strained to recover that sense of no one there, to know for sure that I was right. She had gone on to other things, other plans, other people. Yet even though I didn't like the magician, there arose, from the way she stared at me, the uncomfortable and mysterious thought that she did know me, even if I didn't know how. I found Charlie X dead where she'd said he'd be. Not a wound on him. Just horror splashed across his blurred features, as if he'd seen another side of the magician, or her true face. 3 years later, the magician's spirit had snuck right into the room with me, between me and Wick. She might make her headquarters well to the west in the ruined observatory, but she had found a way to make her influence felt from afar. Because we were weak, because our supplies were running low, and Wick could see no other way out. She had found a way in because she'd always been there. Bourne had gone quiet above us as our voices had gotten louder and Wick had gotten more defensive. We are not giving up the balcony cliffs, I said. We were not giving up Bourne either. I was tired and drunk, but this I knew. We wouldn't be giving them up, Wick said with little enthusiasm. People would move in here, help us fortify it. We live here alone. How long do you think that can last? It's lasted pretty long already, Wick. I crammed another minnow in my mouth, probably my fifth. We were both acting like if we finished off every alcohol minnow in the land tonight, we wouldn't care.
We're lucky we held out this long.
Why now? Tell me why she's asking now.
I think she is planning something big.
I think her plans are almost set.
Wick's voice had lowered to a whisper, as if the magician were listening, which only made me madder. And how did she reach out? Did she capture you on one of your drug runs? Did she give you all kinds of promises you know she can't keep? And if she did, how did you make it back here? Why didn't she just hold on to you?
The magician's not asking. The magician's telling. That's what she does these days, tells people things, and people do them.
The magician on one hill and Wick on the other, communicating via hand signals or semaphore. Who reached out, Wick? Her or you? He mumbled something, stood, wrapped his hands around the sides of his chair, tapped its legs against the floor a couple of times.
He said he reached out, Rachel,
Bourne said helpfully from the ceiling.
Bourne, stay out of this,
we both shouted at him.
But you said you didn't hear him, and I thought you'd want to know.
Go back to my apartment and I'll come check to make sure you're all right before you go to bed, I said.
Sure, Rachel. I can go back to your apartment.
Bourne sounded dejected, or maybe I just expected he would. Slowly, he slid down the wall, congealed into an upright Bourne position, resuscitated his eyes, and left us. If there was a whiff of indignant spider fart left behind, I tried to ignore it, just as I tried to ignore putting Wick's revelation before Bourne's injuries.
I wanted nothing except to be left alone, Wick said. That's all I wanted, all I've ever wanted.
Familiar refrain. I'd never asked why he wanted to be left alone, though. That's Wick, I always thought. Wick likes to be left alone.
It will destroy us, Wick. How can you trust her?
How am I supposed to trust you? He said. You brought Bourne in here. You won't get rid of him. The proxies are getting worse. Everything is getting worse. We have no choice.
You know what will happen to Bourne when she takes over. Wick shrugged. A shrug that said it wouldn't be his problem then, and maybe he even hoped once Bourne became someone else's responsibility, I would come to my senses, and we would be the us, and Bourne would be one of them. But that's not even the worst thing, Wick, and you know it. Wick looked puzzled.
What do you mean?
The feral children I saw tonight are the same as the ones who attacked me here in the balcony cliffs.
There are many terrible people in the city, Wick said. Lots of terrible people.
The ones tonight acted like a patrol, as if they were working for someone. Do you know who? I think you know who. I wanted badly to say it.
You should get some rest, Wick said. You should go to bed.
He wouldn't look at me, even when I shoved myself in front of him. Yet it didn't matter. The perverse thing was I knew Wick so well, and he knew me so well, that we both understood what I meant. It was almost the least of what we were conveying to each other in that moment, but still I pushed because it had to be said out loud. That night, the magician's people snuck in and attacked me. It wasn't something random. They attacked because the magician was sending you a message. And you knew that. And you didn't tell me.
I never knew, Wick protested. I never knew she would do that. Everything I did was so nothing would happen to you. Can you look me in the eye and say you think I wanted that to happen to you? No. Never.
Wick, you withheld information. You were in trouble with her, and you didn't tell me. To his credit, he wasn't trying to deny it now.
Would you have done anything different in my place? Wick asked, shouting. And would you have been extra, extra careful instead of extra careful coming back that night? No, and no. And we'd be in the same place right now, no matter what I did, unless I just handed over the balcony cliffs. You didn't trust me, I shouted back. You don't fucking trust me.
It has nothing to do with trust, Wick said, exasperated, pained. Nothing at all to do with trust.
He said trust like it was a corrosion. If I had known, Wick, it would have helped. You would have been more open with me. You wouldn't have seemed so closed off, secretive. Don't you see that the magician drove a wedge between us? That she wanted you to protect me from her demands? To cut you off from me?
You cut yourself off from me. You did that all on your own, by bringing Born into our lives and not letting go of him, by clinging to him. You did that. You did that.
Did you know the magician tried to recruit me 3 years ago? I asked. Did you know that, Wick? Of course you didn't. I kept that from you because I didn't want the magician to have more leverage over you than she already has. A cry of frustration from Wick.
How in the name of fuck is that different than me trying to protect you by not telling you things? It's not different at all. No difference. And I don't even care.
We were screaming at each other, pointing at each other, but we couldn't stop.
The difference is, Wick, you're hiding other things from me. You're hiding why the magician has leverage over you in the first place. You're hiding secrets in your apartment you think I don't know about.
That brought him up short. But then he realized I couldn't know his secrets. I just had clues, because he'd been so careful.
I don't have secrets, he lied. I don't have any secrets you need to know about.
You don't have any secrets I need to know about, I repeated. Do you know how stupid that sounds? Well, maybe in the morning you'll remember some secrets I do need to know about. Like the fish project, like a broken telescope, or a metal box full of biotech. Like not ever telling me about your family. Maybe in the morning you'll realize just how much I might need to know if we're going to live together. Wick got up, started furiously stirring the crap in his swimming pool with a long piece of wood, his back to me.
Isn't there somewhere else you need to be? Someone else you need to be with?
Accusing, stabbing, but also hurt. I could tell he was hurt, too. We were locked into these positions from the beginning. Wick trying to shield me and do the right thing, conflicted about what that meant, and me, naive enough to think I could believe in Wick and Born at the same time, corrupted by that. Both of us aware from some remote position looking down on ourselves that regret, guilt, even arguing, distracted us from getting on with the business of trying to survive. I stalked out, intending to join Born like I'd promised.